Welcome to the DPM podcast, where we go beyond theory to give expert PM advice for leading better digital projects. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ben Aston, founder of the Digital Project Manager. So growing up, I had my sights on being a fighter pilot and later a lawyer. But the career advice that I received from my school growing up was that I should consider a career as a bin man, a refuse collector, someone who goes around and picks up everyone's trash. So clearly they had some different ideas to me. And I suppose I still might become any of those things, but being a digital project manager was never really something I planned to do. And in fact, for most PMs that I've met, it really tends to be something that they've fallen into rather than planned as going into with a career. But if you've decided that you want to become a project manager, how do you do it? And that's what today's podcast is all about. So keep listening to find out how you can become a digital project manager. This podcast is brought to you by Clarizen, the leader in enterprise project and portfolio management software. Visit clarizen.com to learn more. So today I'm joined by Suze. Hello, Suze.
Hi, Ben.
And Suze is one of our resident DPM experts at the Digital Project Manager, and she works now as a freelance senior digital project manager in London. And she's got stacks of experience working across lots of different clients and different kinds of agencies. So I think today's discussion is going to be really helpful. But Suze, let's just start by, we were just chatting, and so what I want you to share is a little about your latest holiday adventures. Basically, it's really hard to get hold of Suze because she's normally on vacation somewhere. She's a digital project manager, but she's also kind of like a full-time vacationer. So, Suze, for those who are kind of thinking about, you know, where do digital project managers go on holiday? Tell us where they go.
You make it sound like I don't work at all, but yeah, basically since I became freelance, I've been able to plan my time a little bit more. So I do travel quite a bit more. But yeah, my latest holiday, which I just got back from yesterday, was to Sudan. Not your typical holiday destination, I know.
And so did you, as a, you know, going somewhere like Sudan, which is it on the kind of list of the Foreign Office is places not to go or not?
No, actually, South Sudan you're not supposed to go to at the moment, which is a different country okay. Now. But Sudan is actually perfectly safe to go to in the areas that I went. So I went to the capital Khartoum and then travelled up the Nile. So going to various sort of archaeological sites and sort of historic Sudanese sites on the way.
And do you project manage your holidays as much as you project manage your projects, or is it, you know, a chilled out affair just wandering around Africa?
I'm guilty of project managing my travel, but that's when I organise my own. This one actually, it was my boyfriend's an Egyptologist, so I went with him as part of a tour. He was sort of involved in as the expert. So it was actually really tightly organised, and I was actually a bit worried about that because I like to organise my own things and own travel. So relinquishing that control to someone else, I was a bit like, ooh. But it was quite handy in a country like that, having a guide with us, you know. So yeah.
So what did it feel like being? What did it feel like being project managed then?
Interesting. Being told when to get up, when breakfast was, what we were doing in the day. Yeah, that is something I'm not.
Yeah, did it give you any fresh insights on how you might do, you know, project manage your teams differently?
I think more recently I've probably become a bit more relaxed with my time and that. So having very strict timelines and timings to keep to, it was quite a good wake up call again. And our guide was very good at keeping us on time, even though he did say that the Sudanese time is generally a bit later than normal time. So,
yeah. And so have you got a gig lined up for when you return from your vacation?
So I'm actually now off until after Christmas because I'm going away again. But no, I don't have one yet because, with the freelance sort of work and how it sort of works in London, it sort of more comes up sort of a week or two in advance of when you start a contract. So it'll be kind of a last minute look at the beginning of January.
So if you're looking for an excellent senior project manager who loves vacation.
You can't say that.
Yeah. Suze is available. She's great. Awesome. Well, let's kind of shift gears and talk about a bit about your story and, you know, how it was that you actually got to be a project manager and how you, you know, I'm interested to kind of, yeah, learn more about, I guess, your educational background and what you were planning on doing. I mean, it was kind of in the stars that I should be a bin man, but that never panned out. But what career advice did you get at school?
Oh, God, I had a terrible one too. So we filled in one of those forms where you'd put sort of mark against, you know, these questions, various. There were about five different answers you could mark against for each question. And basically the results of that came up with prison officer. So I was like, okay. And then various sort of jobs, obviously, as being a kid, I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be an archaeologist at one point. I wanted to be an air hostess. All professions beginning with an A, which I don't think was to do with it. But yeah, so I had various things I wanted to be growing up. But I think back then as well, project management, especially in terms of digital, wasn't really around because I was growing up when the internet, to make me sound really old, when the internet was kind of coming out and becoming much more popularly used, but there wasn't really that role out there to aspire to. It never really kind of entered my consciousness in terms of a job I wanted to do. And I ended up just falling into it, as a lot of, I think, PMs do say.
So what did you study at university, though, in the end? You were going to be anything beginning with an A.
So I just picked the subject that I liked best at A-levels. Yeah, no, I didn't pick art. I liked art, but I wasn't amazing at it. So, I picked English literature. So with the thought that I didn't know actually what I wanted to do afterwards, and it was quite a broad subject, and I enjoyed it at A-level, so the sort of pre-university school in the UK. So I picked that, did that at uni, and still really after uni didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I spent a few years after that sort of just, I did an MA, then a master's, and I also worked in a mobile phone shop for a while.
What was your master's in?
It was in communication studies, which was quite a broad one.
Okay.
It kind of related to, I think, a lot of English literature. What was sort of relevant in English literature was things like analytical skills, a lot of reading, obviously, writing. So kind of skills that, and this is where I think, where I talk about in my article, is the transferable skills that you can kind of take on to sort of other professions, you know, and you don't necessarily have to become something directly related to your degree. So whereas a lot of people said, do you want to be a teacher and teach English literature? I didn't, but skills that I used in my uni degree have helped, I think, throughout the course of my career.
Mm. Yeah, I think it is always. I do wonder whether or not when the, you know, teachers give career advice or you fill out those forms, whether or not they just give you these random jobs just because they're trying to inspire you to something else or something more. It's like, hey, if you carry on the way you're going, this is how you're going to end up. But I think it's interesting, maybe a slight difference between the UK and North America in terms of our education. It's more generally accepted, I think, in the UK to do a degree like I did, politics and international relations, and you did English literature, and that's cool. Whereas in the US, they often, like in job descriptions, would say, hey, we want someone who has a, you know, a business something or a something else. They're a lot more specific about the kind of the education.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the job sort of, when I was starting out, a lot of the job applications and the advertisements were asking for a degree rather than a specific degree. So that was lucky for me, I guess.
So how did you go from mobile phone salesman, woman?
Yeah, that was an interesting one. I don't think I was the best because I actually really wanted to help the people, and a lot of the mobile phone sales was about getting commission and hitting targets. But I'd actually tell people, I shouldn't really admit this either, but I'd told people to shop elsewhere if I knew there was a better deal elsewhere. So actually, customer service-wise, and sort of working with clients and, you know, things like that, it was actually quite a useful grounding, again, showing sort of transferable skills. But yeah, it was something I didn't want to do forever and wasn't the best at. But I'd kind of been, and I think it was a kind of vague idea at the time, but I'd been looking at marketing and advertising and sort of fields like that. So I just started applying for a lot of jobs that I found when I was up in Leeds, which is the northern city in the UK. And so I applied for a job at an agency then. It was an integrated agency, so sort of more direct marketing, but also had a little bit of digital sort of at the time, and applied for an account executive position. So they at the time didn't recognize the kind of distinction between project management and account management. So it was more kind of all encompassing role between accounts person, client services person, and project management. But yeah, I got that job. So it was kind of an entry level job into the industry. And it all went from there.
Interesting. Yeah, my story is pretty similar in terms of, I did politics and international relations at university and worked in different advertising agencies. I thought I wanted to get into advertising. So I worked at different ad agencies and then tried really hard to get into one of the graduate programs. So I got into the grad program at Lowe, but it was kind of like a pop idol thing where people get knocked out. And I got knocked out. So and then I ended up as an account exec at an agency called Wonderman. So in some ways it's a similar kind of path. Do a random degree and then get into a kind of an agency.
Yeah.
But I wonder if I wonder now, like that was a lot of years ago. So I wonder now, like how, because I think agencies have changed a lot since when we started out 15 years ago or something. So I suspect it's a bit different now in terms of there are more, there's lots more roles for sure, than there used to be. Yeah. But I'm curious to ask you, like looking back now, do you think, like, you're obviously still working in project management and this is like 15 years later. So do you see yourself always being a PM?
Yeah, I do actually, or being involved in some remit with project management. It kind of, even though I fell into it, I kind of went into the account manager role, I guess, first and started sort of moving up that path. And then, sort of when I recognized the distinction, because at the point I was doing that, I also didn't really know much about the distinction between project management and account management. At the time, a lot of the roles were merged and you were doing some of both. And when I kind of realized that distinction, I naturally felt I was more sort of project management than account management, even though there are sort of aspects of the roles which you will do in sort of both jobs. And that's when I really sort of found my niche almost and sort of moved into that sort of side. So the delivery of the projects and managing that. So yeah, I would see myself always doing something to do with this at least. Yeah.
And if you ever had kids, would you recommend it as a career to them?
Yes, definitely. Specifically, I think in digital as well. So obviously there's lots of different types of project managers out there or working in different types of industries. But I think digital is a really exciting industry to be part of. So, and I think that's partly to do with how much it does change. So you're not working in an industry that's very static, you know, it's going to be the same in 10 years' time. It's evolving so quickly that actually your job and your role evolves too. And I think that's the case of from when I first started, how I saw sort of project management then and how it was seen within agencies, et cetera, and how it kind of has moved on now, I think. So, yeah, so I would recommend it.
Phew. And what would you do if you weren't a PM? Would you be an archaeologist?
No. I know, it's a very, you need a lot of patience for that, and a lot of focus on just one particular task for a long time, I think. And what I do like about
rushing things.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe potentially not finding anything for a long time.
Yeah.
So what I do like about PMing is actually the fact that there's loads of different types of things you're doing as part of your role, and you are having to handle a lot of different things at once and juggle different tasks and manage different things. And I actually like that. I like having a lot of things and different things to do, so it keeps the role quite fresh. But if I wasn't to do this, I'd definitely do something to do with travel. So my ideal would probably be like a travel photographer or something. So something very different.
Yeah, that is very different. Well, cool. So I want to kind of dig into some of the things you talk about in your article. And I think probably people listening are listening to this because, you know, they want to know how to get into project management. And in the article, you talk about some different things. You talk about practical skills and personal skills, hard skills and soft skills. So practical skills that you talk about are things like knowing how to do estimating, knowing how to write documentation, technical know-how, risk management, process, the way we manage projects and how we get from project, you know, project initiation through to project delivery, managing that whole project life cycle from the birth to the death or the end of a project. So in terms of those kind of practical skills that you learnt in order to become a digital project manager, what would be kind of your advice for someone trying to learn these hard skills? These, you know, either you know how to do it or you don't. But how did you learn, and how would you recommend someone else learn?
Yeah. So, firstly, yeah, I like to call them practical and personal skills versus hard and soft, just because hard and soft sounds a bit like negative, I think, sometimes. But practical skills. I didn't take any courses in project management. There wasn't like loads about at the time, I think, when I was starting out. So I think I just learned on the job, basically. So through experience. And I still believe that's a really valid way to learn all the kind of practical skills of being a project manager. So learning through doing. I'm a real advocate of that. So, I mean, if you are starting out in the industry afresh and you haven't had a PM job before to actually sort of learn some of the skills from, I don't think it's necessary that going into an interview, you will know exactly how to do a project plan in a certain software or tool. So I think a lot of it will be learnt sort of through experience. Obviously, there are things that you can do to try and help that along. So things like trying to sort of apply for work experience or internships at agencies or on client side who have PMs. So there are sort of things you can do to try and help yourself along with a bit of experience there. But a lot of the practical skills will be learnt on the job, I think, in a PM role. I mean, I think it's always good as interview preparation, if you're going for a sort of first interview as your first job as a project manager, to, you know, read around the topic and have an idea of some of the skills that, you know, would be necessary as a project manager, and try and, what I've mentioned earlier, is try and think about transferable skills. So even if you haven't created a project plan in MS Project before, you know, how have you managed timings before? You know, you might have been in a job where timings are very important. How have you kind of made sure you've delivered on time? Things like that. So thinking about sort of situations you've been in before in maybe other jobs, or even through university or anything where you need to sort of manage deadlines. So it's all about those kind of transferable skills that can apply to the practical skills you'll need as a PM.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would agree that I think so much of the practical skills that we need or the hard skills that we need as a project manager, I think can actually be learned pretty quickly. And you can learn those on the job reasonably quickly. We've also a plug for the DPM school. If you go to dpmschool.com, you can read all about our course, Mastering Digital Project Management, which is a 7-week crash course, where we teach a lot of the hard skills of estimating, of planning a project, initiating projects, managing and controlling projects. So check that out. We've got a course running in the new year. So take a look at that. But in terms of what you're talking about, I think is really important, and that is the soft skills that we need, which are transferable, but are really hard to learn. It's not something really that you can you can go to school for it, but until you're kind of put in the situation, it's very hard to know how you'll react or to, you know, there's a kind of textbook answer to how do you deal with people who, you know, aren't delivering, and you can give a textbook answer and that's fine. But depending on the project, the client, the time of day, there's just so many variables that it's not really something that you can be like, hey, this is the answer to your problem. Yeah. And I think that's what makes it an interesting job. Like we really are, you know, yeah, it's a soft skills job. Like I think good PMs are those who have really good soft skills, because they're going to get the best out of their team. But how would you, what kind of person or what kind of character, you know, do you think makes a good PM? Or on the other hand, maybe it's easier to answer it the other way. What kind of person do you think makes a really bad PM? I'll answer either way you like.
I think these sort of sake of soft skills or personal skills, that's really, like you said, what's core to being a good project manager. And that's where I've seen the role evolve a lot over the years. So there was quite a focus on, in the past, just, you know, you have to deliver on time, deliver to scope and deliver on budget. And that's kind of your core remit. Whereas now I feel like it's a much more sort of leadership role. And a slightly more strategic role than probably it's been seen in the past. So sort of where I'd look, potentially when interviewing, project managers, I'd look at sort of how they, approach challenges, you know, sort of how they would deal with problems, what kind of, way they sort of, sort things out, you know. So if there's a problem within the team, if there's a problem with the client, sort of how have they got any examples of, how they've dealt with issues in the past? So kind of it's about sort of being calm in a crisis, you know, being sort of transparent and honest and clear. So sort of, I think skills like that. I mean, obviously, big one for being a PM is being organized, you know, how do they organize themselves? How do they organize a team, you know, sort of, and a bit more sort of strategic thinking around that, I think. Yeah. So, you know, it's not just about sort of having a daily to-do list, but, you know, are they thinking ahead to the project as a whole and how they need to guide the project's path? So being a slightly more strategic thinker. So, so I think sort of problem solving, the leadership and organization are some of the core kind of soft skills, or personal skills needed. And obviously when you're interviewing, one of the big things is about communication. So actually just talking to somebody and sort of understanding how they communicate with you is quite a good, test on what they're like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, from my perspective, I think there's the soft skills, there's the hard skills, and then there is also this kind of character element. And that is the, you know, someone's underlying, they're underlying who they are as a person and their kind of natural inclinations. And I think there's something about PMs that, you have to kind of be a bit tenacious. You kind of have to be, you know, someone who wants to get to the bottom of things. And I don't think I've ever really met many good PMs who are kind of sit back, slouchy, kind of relaxed, kind of demeanor, and not kind of, I think the best PMs are the PMs who are kind of, you know, a bit more driving and a bit more, you know, there's a bit of get up and go with them, which is hard to kind of quantify. But it's when you see a PM who has less energy or less, I think it's hard to describe, but someone who's, you know, going to rally the team. And I guess it's that leadership part of it, but whether or not they're someone who would kind of like accept and take responsibility and carry it well, or be the person who's kind of like, you know, sit back, hope everything kind of works around them. Those are the people who struggle more as PMs, because projects happen around them rather than them actually leading the projects. And I think you can be a project manager if you're, you know, you can do that more of a project administrator. The project happens around you and you're kind of connecting some of the pieces. But the better project managers, I think, are those who lead more, who, what you've been talking about, have this strategic perspective and are kind of tenacious in digging to get to the root of problems, who are trying to like drive the project forward, who have an eye on the milestones and the delivery dates, and are kind of constantly, you know, driving the team forward and enabling them to do their best work. And I think there's something about someone's character, either you're inclined to do that, you're inclined to ask difficult questions, you're inclined to, you know, be okay with putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation for the good of the project. And that's, exactly, for me, that's something that's hard to, it's hard to quantify, and it's hard to kind of describe. But there's a certain drive that I think makes a good PM good.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it's definitely about that drive. And you need to, whilst being obviously a nice person, you need to not be too afraid to ruffle feathers at times, to be honest. I had a great conversation about 10 years ago with the MD of the company I was interviewing at, and which I sort of ended up working at for a few years. And she told me that that she was talking about the split between account management and project management. And she actually said, we like to have that, because I know there are roles obviously where these two roles are merged, but we like to have that split between account management, client services, and the project management delivery side, because I see it as the client services side are the good cops and the PMs are the bad cops almost. So you can go in, you are protecting the project. You're protecting the project deliverables, timings, budget, scope, your team. You know, you're sort of trying to protect the project and hit that. Whereas the account services can be, and account management can be responsible, they're like protecting the client. So you can kind of work together on delivering a good product then, between sort of keep protecting the client and that sort of the account, but also for a PM just being responsible for the project. So, you know, you can ruffle the feathers if necessary. You can tell the client they're not sort of giving feedback when necessary, they're not hitting their deadlines, and be a bit more bad cop, because you need to protect what the project is. So I really liked that at the time, and it's always kind of stuck with me.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I would say that as a project manager, if you're not ruffling any feathers, then you're probably not doing your job properly, because they're, one of the things that we're doing as project managers is we're bringing together these conflicting people with conflicting opinions and ideas, and we're trying to help define the way forward. Because if everybody had their way the whole time, nothing would happen, and you just end up with a Frankenstein project.
Yeah.
Exactly. So one of the things that we have to do, and this kind of comes back to that character thing, it's like, okay, well, we're going to have to tackle this head on, and I'm going to have to make a difficult decision and say, this is what we're going to do. And I know I'm going to upset somebody, but if I don't upset anybody, then the whole project's going to fail. And I think that's one of the hardest things that we have to do.
Yeah, exactly. And it's about sort of being able to have the open and honest, difficult conversations as well. Which is one of kind of the harder parts of the job. But, you know, if team members aren't delivering and it's going to affect the project, and you need to speak to them, you know, you have to do that. If you need to speak to the client and say that something is going to be late, it's a difficult conversation to have, but you need to be able to sort of to protect the project and drive it forward to be able to do things like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's kind of dig into that a bit more. So, yeah, the kind of more uncomfortable parts of the role. What do you hate about being a PM? What's the worst thing for someone thinking about going into project management? What's the worst? What's the worst part of the job for you?
I think it's and this is actually something Patrice, one of the DPM expert panel members, wrote an article on recently. It's this whole sort of being seen as the admin person, or the one that sort of all the other smaller jobs fall back on. So it's kind of a pet hate of mine, is that as the PM, as the kind of center point in a project, so dealing with everyone in the project. You often get seen as the person who should be booking all the meetings, should be booking the meeting room, should be rounding up everyone to get into the meeting, should be doing all those admin tasks that designers or developers don't actually want to do. So I do dislike that part of it, and I do push back quite a lot and make people do things for themselves quite a lot, which does annoy some people. But I think there is a tendency for the PM to mop up tasks that aren't covered by strict roles in a project. So I have done sort of everything from content upload, content creation. I've done QA before in the past, like jobs where you don't actually have a role for on the project can actually fall back on the PM if, you know, you're scrabbling to find somebody. I think that's always something to try and push back against if you can, or sort of protect yourself against, because you obviously generally have a lot to do anyway and don't need extra jobs on your plate.
Or embrace it and become a copywriter or a designer or go into UX. Do you know, I think that's the interesting thing. I think part of the role of the PM is that we tend to be, or we often tend to be, a bit of a jack of all trades. So, you know, we understand, like, we could do copywriting at a push, or we could do wireframing at a push, or we could do write out the requirement. We could be the BA, we could be the business analyst and write all the requirements. We'll do the QA. Like, we can kind of fit in the gaps. We're not really an expert at anything, but, you know, we know enough just to, you know, make a quick HTML update on a page and, or to do some content entry, because we know the CMS. So it's, and interestingly, some, you know, it goes both ways. Some people who work in UX or design or dev more commonly become project managers, but sometimes it can go around the other way, that, hey, project managers then realize that actually they have this ability or desire to do something else and go into something else. So I'm curious to ask you, you know, you said, you know, you think you'll kind of carry on working as a PM, or best case scenario, become a travel photographer. But career wise, you know, you've kind of come through the ranks, account exec, project manager, now senior project manager. You've worked permanent and now you're working freelance to give you some more flexibility. But like career wise, where are you heading? Are you kind of content to stay in this freelance senior kind of role, taking on projects, or something else?
Yeah, so I mean, more recently I actually moved to a project director role as well. So sort of slightly moving up in terms of whilst also still managing projects, so more of the kind of senior PM role. I also manage program of work, so that's managing other PMs doing the more day-to-day jobs, and you're kind of looking at the overall program. So that was sort of the next logical step in my career, which I'm sort of now stepping into. I guess sort of after that, there's more kind of head of project management, head of delivery role. At the moment, I'm not sure that's quite for me yet, at least. So what I do like about sort of the more hybrid role I'm doing, say sort of a mixture of program or project director and also sort of senior project manager, is that I'm still being involved in managing projects, which I do actually like, so being a bit more hands-on, and then also taking on that more strategic role of a project director instead of looking at an overall project or program of work. So I do like that sort of mix of role. I'm not sure I'm quite ready to sort of relinquish managing sort of any projects at all. So when you're moving to a sort of slightly more senior role, and that's at the head of project management or head of delivery, you are sort of more responsible for overall delivery in an agency or client side, or sort of managing the project management team.
That's certainly been my experience of moving more into that more managerial role, where you're heading up the project management team and then managing teams of project managers rather than actually delivering any projects yourself. Yeah. I'd find that often I'd be working with business development and scoping out projects, maybe kicking projects off, but then rarely, then handing them over to someone else, rarely actually delivering them. Which is quite a different role.
Yeah.
But let's end on a more positive note. So tell us why do you love being a PM? If someone's thinking, oh, is this something that do I want to be a PM? Why is it good? What do you love about it?
I think you are sort of, like I said before, almost a central point in a project. So you are kind of coordinating the whole project and managing it through from beginning to end. So you're involved in everything. And whilst obviously that comes with a lot of work, you actually get to see a whole sort of generally see a whole project through. And that's really nice. Like you're involved from the beginning to the end and you can see it complete and be like, that's great. You know, I've been responsible for helping lead that through. So that's a really sort of nice aspect of it. Also, you get to work across loads of different disciplines as well. Mm. So obviously, PMing is your discipline, but you're working with designers, developers, you know, QA, UX. You work across loads of different, generally sort of types of discipline, and you get a lot more sort of broader knowledge because of that. And then specifically in digital, like I said before, it's such a sort of fast changing, quite exciting industry. I think that's a really sort of nice industry to be involved in because things don't stay static and too sort of, the same all the time. So things evolve, things change, and you're sort of constantly learning, which I do like. And there's new challenges coming up all the time.
Yeah, definitely. Like it's very different. Like from when I started out in, as a digital project manager, everything, I mean, we used to do lots of banner campaigns and simple HTML sites, but the majority of the really exciting work that we did was all in Flash and ActionScript.
Yes. I was about to say Flash.
And, it was complicated. It was fun. But hey, we don't do any of that now. And it's interesting how, things evolve, things change. You need to learn new technology, new skills to actually make projects happen.
Exactly.
Great. So I think we talked about a lot of different things today, but I think kind of going back to, how to get into project management, I think we've discussed how we need to learn the hard skills. We need to learn the soft skills. And I think one thing we didn't really talk about, but Sue's touched on was actually, if you're interested in getting into project management, I think it's important that you actually start managing things. So managing yourself, try and find opportunities to manage other people. And one thing that you can do is start trying to build things. So it might be that you try building your own website on WordPress, which is a pretty, simple thing to do, but it'll give you a good understanding of the kind of technical skills you need. And then the reality is though that so much of this is stuff that we learn on the job. So it's important to get some experience, get a job. It's going to be entry level. Yes, you might be doing a lot of admin stuff to start with, but it's going to give you some exposure to the role. And we also touched on interviews, preparing for interviews, thinking about what it is that you're going to say. What's your story going to be to try and convince someone that you could be a good PM? So do some interview prep and do some networking as well, because that's going to give you the opportunities. But Suze, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been great having you with us.
Thank you.
And just to say, as one of our DPM experts, Suze makes an appearance on our upcoming digital project management school that we're running. And it starts in February. And if you're not sure what we're talking about, but you know that you need some PM training, you know that you need to learn some of the hard skills, some of the soft skills, then check it out. It's a 7-week crash course that includes some interactive video lessons, panel discussions, group discussions, and the option of coaching too. So head to dpmschool.com and get yourself signed up before the course fills up. And if you'd like to contribute to the conversation, comment on the post and head to the resources section of the digitalprojectmanager.com to join our Slack team, where you'll find all kinds of interesting conversations going on there about how to get into project management and the journey of a project manager. But until next time, thanks for listening.